Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. I'm going to be preaching the second part of what I was preaching this morning. And I hope that doing short series on a particular subject doesn't get boring to people. I know how I feel sometimes, especially on a Sunday, when you'll have two messages that are completely different from one another. Sometimes it's hard to take in everything that God is trying to say. And you almost feel like you're overwhelmed by all the information, especially if you're lacking in those certain areas, you know. I mean, it almost gets to where you feel like the preacher and the Lord beat you over the head so hard there. I mean, there's no possible way you're ever going to be able to do everything that God expects. And as I've been praying about that and just trying to have the heart of God for this church, you know, I said, Lord, you know, help it. I mean, to not seem like that to people around here, because you would be amazed at some of the looks you get when you're standing up here preaching what God told you to preach. And, you know, on one hand, I mean, I know what the Lord's told me to say, and sometimes it isn't easy to hear. That's just the nature of the business. I mean, sometimes we don't line up like we ought to, and we should, and in a perfect world, we would. But the fact of the matter is this isn't a perfect world. We got problems. We got struggles. We got areas that we need to get better in. And whenever you're facing things like that, I mean, you can't help but to feel a little on the negative side, because you realize that you're not up to par or where God expects you to be in that area. And when that happens once in a day and you pray about it, and then you can get a hold of things like that. But when the very next message comes at 6 o'clock, and you get bashed over the head again, sometimes it gets to be more than you can take. And if we're not careful, we can dig ourselves into a rut and take on the feeling that, man, there's no way that I'm ever going to be able to do all these things that God requires me to do. And I don't want to see that happen. So as I've been praying, the Lord's been speaking to my heart to preach on the same subject on Sunday morning and Sunday night. So during the introduction, what I usually do, since, you know, Brother Maurer and a lot of people are working with the kids and they're not in here, is I'll recap during the introduction about what we talked about in the morning. And I'm not trying to bore anybody. I haven't run out of things to say. I mean, I've got hundreds of sermons in that fireproof locker over there in my library. I mean, I'm not at a lack of things to preach, whether it be new or old. But we want to be obedient to God, and we want to go out of this revival that we had with the Martin family, amen, on fire for our families. And if we're going to be the parents that God wants us to be, there's going to have to be some things that we understand. And the best way to feel really confident that God's really going to bring the change that we need to see in our families is by immediately participating in things that will make them better. And that's why I said this morning, I'm trying to preach to you today in a very practical way. Why? I don't want to just give you principles that are just things to know about. I want to tell you things that you can immediately start doing, so you can say this when you get up from the altar, or tomorrow night when you finish and you've participated in some of those things we've talked about this morning and that we're going to talk about tonight. You can say, man, I was lacking in that stuff last week, but I'm not now. That's what revival's all about. Correcting mistakes and moving forward to experience things that we've not yet attained. It's something to be excited about, to be encouraged about. Amen. So in Genesis chapter 18, I'm going to read the same text as this morning, verse 19. And I've got to be careful, because my mom's going to get embarrassed, because I'm taking my jacket off because it's burning hot up here. But I got a hole under the sleeve of my left shirt. And I'm glad we're all normal folks and nobody's going to be thrown, you know, for a loop if I lift up my hands and you say, dude's got a hole in his shirt, but that's the way it is, and I haven't made it to Penny's to get a new one, so you're just going to have to put up with a holy preacher. Hey, man, I'm a funny guy, and I didn't... Glory to God. Holy glory to God. Amen. Oh, what a nerd. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and read verse 19. God said this of Abraham. He said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment." Now we're going to stop there. I'm not going to be taken out of context, but I want to read that to you again. God said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. Now notice the commandment that was being given, that he was to teach his children specific things. That's what we talked about this morning. And then we notice the consequence. And because of that, they're going to keep the way of the Lord. That's our goal as parents, folks. For our children to wholeheartedly live for God. And if we're ever going to see that take place, then there's some things that we need to understand and implement into our lives and theirs. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. We're going to be dealing with Principles of Parenting, Part 2. And Brother DeMinn, if you'd pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, in this morning's message, we talked about the fact that a lot of parents in the day and hour that we live in have a very mixed up set of priorities. Amen. And you can see this everywhere you turn. And usually you see it taking place in two different extremes. Okay. The first extreme that you see where their parental priorities are all out of whack is the fact that parents today are so concerned and only concerned about going after their own interests, their own desires, their own selfish ambitions to the place where they don't even take time for their own kids. They don't spend time with them. They don't talk with them. They don't do things with them. Brother DeBoard, all they want to do is go out and make the money and spend time at the office or follow after their own interests to the point where they don't even give their kids the needed essentials or the needed time that their kids demand and need from their dad or from their mom. I mean, let's face it. There's a lot of guys on this Sunday morning that were more interested in golfing with their buddies than they worried about bringing their kids into the house of God. Amen. Now, every parent realizes, because God's given them a conscience, that they have responsibilities as parents. Spiritual responsibilities that the Lord wants to see them implement into the lives of their children, and yet they're so concerned with themselves that they don't even bother taking heed to them. So that's one extreme or one ditch that you see a lot of parents falling into these days. But then on the other side of things, the complete opposite of that takes place. And it seems like almost everywhere you turn nowadays, there's parents that are so stinking lazy that they won't even go out and get a job to take care of themselves and to provide for themselves, let alone worry about taking care of their kids like they're supposed to be. I mean, they won't even take care of their kids in the physical. They're not even really concerned about themselves in the physical. I mean, let alone when it comes to spiritual things. So there's these two extremes that we see, you know, across the spectrum that parents are falling into. And really, there's all kinds of things that take place in between. But you have one group of people that's just concerned about themselves and the things that they want and the things that they want to do. And they don't even think about their children. They neglect all the responsibilities. And on the other hand, they have people that just, you know, take on this attitude of, you know, whatever. As long as I got a TV, as long as I got my food stamps, as long as somebody else is paying my bills. Now, I'm not against government help. Don't get me wrong. But you understand there's a positive and a negative attitude behind it. That's just the way it is. Okay? And there's people out there that just say, you know, as long as that stuff's taking place, who cares what my kids are doing while they're out running the town? I know they didn't get in until 4 a.m, but I mean, they're still alive, so what's the big deal? Matter of fact, I get a check for them every month. It's just the way some people see it. And because people take on that kind of attitude, they are not fulfilling the main purpose or the main role that God has given them as parents, which is to make sure that their children are completely surrendered to Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I mean, their priorities are so messed up that they don't even consider that one main thing that God has called them to be as parents and called them to do as parents. And then we covered three very important principles concerning the responsibilities that God does require us to do if we want to see our children become surrendered to God like He wants them to be. And the first thing we talked about is that as parents, we are going to have to provide them with the proper instruction. Because there's no way that we can expect our children to be found inside of the will of God or following after the will of God if they don't even know what the will of God is, because they never take time to be taught His Word. And it seems like when it comes to this, even inside of the church, we got people that are trying to pass the buck, and they say, well, you know, I understand my kids need to, you know, become knowledgeable in the Scriptures, and I understand that a Christian's supposed to know the will of God, so because I want my kid to make it to heaven, I'll send them to church so that they learn. It's not the church's responsibility to teach your kid, it's yours. I mean, as a pastor, I mean, that's a gift that He's given to the church. Teachers and pastors and different things to supplement the doctrine that is being taught at home by their parents. I mean, I understand there's nothing wrong with that, but that is not what the Word of God has to say about the primary place that your children are supposed to learn what the Word of God has to say. It's to be done by you as a parent. I mean, and the other way they're trying to pass the buck is not, you know, just saying, well, you know, we'll go ahead and let the church do it. Is I've even seen people saying, well, you know what? We'll leave it up to our kids. Okay, and that sounds crazy, but here's the way they make it sound spiritual. I'm going to tell my child to have their own devotion. That's all well and good. Sage has her own devotions every day. I mean, Emery has her devotions every day. I expect my children to have their own devotions. But the Word of God very clearly says that's not where they're supposed to gain all their understanding of the things of God. You know where they're supposed to gain it from? Their mom and dad. Amen? So the first thing we need to understand, if we want our kids to go on to be completely surrendered to Christ, which is our responsibility as parents to get our children to do that, we're going to have to be teaching them the things that they need to know in order to be able to be found surrendered to Christ. And we went over some specific things that we need to be teaching them. We talked about the fact that we need to be teaching them what God demands and expects of their life. Amen. He's given us His Word for a reason. It says so that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works, without excuse. Okay? We talked about the fact that God is going to judge their lives, and they need to realize that. They need to understand the extent of that judgment. And then the Word of God says that every idle word that men shall speak, they're going to get every single word they've ever spoken, they're going to have to give an account of. Every thought, every intention inside of their heart, the motivation behind the things that they do, every deed that they've ever done, they're going to have to give an account of that when they stand before God. Don't you want your child to be able to prepare for that day? Don't you want them to live their life with the understanding, man, do I want to do this or maybe not? Because after all, I mean, I'm going to have to answer to God for the decision I make here. We also talked about the fact we need to be teaching our children the absolute importance of them being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. We know that Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that we would receive power after that the Holy Ghost come upon us. We realize that in our humanity, in our own strength, we do not have the ability to live for God like we should. Amen. We understand by the teachings of Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 that we don't have the desire or the ability to be able to do the things that God wants us to do. And that's why it's so important that our children understand that in of themselves, they will never succeed in their spiritual lives. But they have to be filled with a sufficient source so that they can be successful. And that is the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible is very clear. He gives it so that we might be able to go on to do all those things that we simply do not have the ability to do, which is to have the desire to live for God and the power to live for God. Our kids got to understand that. We also taught about the fact that we as parents need to be teaching our children that they need to be prepared in their spiritual lives if suffering or persecution would come their way. And I know we all want to cross our fingers and say we live in the United States. Hopefully nothing like that's ever going to happen in our days, or the rapture is going to take place. The groundwork is already laid. And we need to understand that it would be foolish for us to think that even though all over the rest of the now world, you know, everywhere else, people are being persecuted. For instance, if I were to go to Canada right now and preach against homosexuality, they would throw me in jail. In Canada. Not China. Not Sudan. Canada. And we would be foolish to think that we're not going to have to face any kind of persecution. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. You need to prepare your kids to be ready to face it. Amen. And we know that we as parents can teach our kids what they need to know in order to be able to face those things. Because when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were jerked out of their homeland and sit in a completely pagan society, amen, what did they say? Throw us in the fire, but there is no way we are ever going to bow down to you. Throw me in that den of lions, but I'm still going to pray three times a day, just like I always have. That's the commitment that I've made to God. I have purposed in my heart that I will not defile myself. And you need to understand, God can get your child to that same place, even at a young age, just like those four young men were. We need to be teaching our kids that. Then we also said that as parents, we need to be providing our kids not with just the proper instruction, but also the proper example. Okay, and what I said is that it's absolute lunacy for a parent to instruct their child to live a certain way when they're not willing to live that way themselves. Okay? Now, most parents aren't that ignorant that they would do something like that. You know, like say, you shouldn't lie and then go on to lie right in front of them. Okay, they realize that's too big of a contradiction. But here's what a lot of parents do. They'll say, Johnny, you shouldn't lie, but I'm going to go outside and smoke a cigarette. Or Johnny, you shouldn't steal things, but I'm going to go watch filthy things on my television set. And because, you know, all this doctrine that's being poured out inside of the home, you know, to live for God, to live for God, to live for God. I mean, the things that these parents are leaving out that the kids are catching in church, that it's wrong to do things that mom and dad are doing. Amen. The only thing when a parent's trying to, you know, instruct their children without living the example, you want to know what it's going to do? It's going to set them up to be bitter and resentful towards the things of God. It's just the way that it is. And that's why it's so important that we as parents practice what we preach. Amen? And then last we said that as parents, it's our duty to provide our children with the needed encouragement. And while I understand our children need to do what David did, and they need to learn to encourage themselves in the Lord, but the best way to teach them to do that is by encouraging your children yourself. Amen. So that they will see how good it feels to be encouraged, and then they will have that desire to be encouraged when they're discouraged. I mean, that just makes sense. And then I close by saying that the best thing that could ever be said of us as parents is the same thing that God was saying about Abraham in our text when he said this, "For I know him, that he will command his children in his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." But folks, if that is ever going to be said of us as parents, we have to make sure that those three principles are in place. God can't ever say that about somebody that won't instruct their kids in the way that they need to go and they pass the buck to somebody else. Because that's not the will of God. That's not the way He wants it to work. I mean, God's never ever going to say that about somebody who tells their kids to do something and yet lives as a contradiction to the Word of God. Not giving them the proper example. He's not going to say that. I mean, if somebody that's a parent won't reach down and try to encourage their children and then to lift up their spirits, to excite them about the things of God, then God's not going to be able to say that about somebody. But if they will do those things, then we see if Abraham is willing to do it, and that's what God said about him, then if we'll be willing to do it, then that's what God will say about us. But if we truly want to be the parents that God has called us to be, I mean, we also have to understand that there's a whole lot of other things that we can instill inside of our kids that will help them along on their spiritual journey. I mean, I wish it was so easy that all we had to do is just give them some instruction and give them the right kind of example and encourage them and do those three things. But the fact of the matter is there's all kinds of things that we could preach about when it comes to this. I mean, this series of sermons could be never-ending almost when it comes to all the different things that a parent could do to help their children in their spiritual lives. But we're just going to be dealing with one more thing tonight. I don't know if the Lord will lead us to preach about more things, but I've just got one particular thing that we need to understand. A principle as parents that we have to make sure that we have in place when it comes to the responsibility that we have for our kids. And this fourth principle that we need to fulfill as parents is the fact that we need to be providing our children not just with the proper instruction, not just the proper example, not just the proper encouragement, but we need to be giving them the proper intercession as well. Prayer. That is a basic subject, isn't it? It's more important when it comes to your kids than you could possibly imagine. I mean, when we hear a topic brought up by the preacher that we've heard preached about so many different times, it's almost like you see people go, oh, we're going to hear about that again. It's something we've got to make sure is in place if we ever want to see our kids really succeed in their spiritual life, to have the best chance that they could possibly have to make it into the kingdom of God. We've got to be providing them with intercession. Now, the definition of the word intercession would be this: to pray for the needs and the spiritual well-being of somebody else. That's what intercession is. It's not just saying, you know, praying for the sick or this specific kind of prayer for somebody else. But when you're going to define intercession, you need to understand it's where a parent gets down on their knees and prays to God that He would provide the children with proper spiritual well-being and for any needs that they might have in their life. I mean, that is exactly what God expects us as parents to do for our kids. He expects us to pray and to intercede on their behalf. And in James chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, there's some very descriptive words that describe the type of intercession that parents are supposed to offer on behalf of their kids. It says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months." Now there's four words that I want to bring out of that text, or two that are found directly in it, and two that, you know, you're going to see how they relate. Okay, now the first word I want you to notice is the word effectual, because it says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now that word effectual means this: to be effective. It's pretty easy. It means to be effective. It means to pray in such a way as a parent that your prayer will promote an effect inside of your children's lives. It means to offer up your prayer with the sole intention of bringing about a result. Have you ever been guilty of praying about something and you didn't have any real expectation that God was going to bring it to pass? Amen. We do it all the time. Amen. But God says, listen, when you're interceding, especially when we're interceding for our kids, amen, we shouldn't get down there and just start praying, not expecting anything, but it should be effectual and we should expect there to be an effect. And this shows us that as parents, the prayers that we lift up on behalf of our children are to be serious prayers. Prayers that will bring about a result. Prayers that will move the hand of God. Prayers that will actually accomplish the very thing that we're beseeching the throne of grace for. Because after all, why do we pray? It ought to be to get an answer. But so many times we offer it up out of obligation. We know we're supposed to be praying, but it's not an effectual prayer. We're not expecting the words that we're saying to God to produce an effect. And God wants us to understand, when you are interceding for your children and offering parental prayers, they should always be offered effectually, expecting an answer. We can never forget that every time that we pray for our kids, we're not to offer up some "now I lay me down to sleep" prayer. Which a lot of times as parents, I mean, you guys are going to know it, a lot of times we fall into that, because at the end of the day, which I hope that, you know, that's not the only time you pray with your kids, is when they're getting ready to go to sleep. But if we're not careful, we'll be so tired and we'll just pray for them real quick. And God says, listen, when you're interceding for your kids, that's not the kind of prayer you want to offer up. You want it to be effectual. Now, we're just going over some principles real quick. And here in a minute, we're going to talk about what we need to be praying about. But if we're not praying in the right way, it doesn't matter what we're praying about. Second word I want to bring up is the word fervent. Because it says, "The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Now, that word fervent means to pray with extreme sincerity and extreme intensity. Now, when we look at that definition, we have to ask ourselves a question. Have you ever prayed about something that you weren't all that stirred up about? You know, and you find yourself praying, and you're praying about something, you're trying to do what's right, and I realize we can't make ourselves cry and, you know, break down and stuff at the altar. But I mean, there's a lot of times we pray about things that we're really not all that moved about. I mean, we'd like to see God do it, but I mean, we're not stirred within our soul. Well, if there's one thing that ought to arrest our attention and ought to stir us up as parents, it ought to be the spiritual well-being of our kids. And when God says, listen, the prayers that you offer up in intercessory prayer, I want them to be fervent. I want them to be sincere. I want them to be intense. We shouldn't have to coax ourselves as parents to get worked up about the spiritual condition that our children are in, about the needs that they have in their life. We shouldn't have to work up our emotions, but our fervency in prayer should be a natural outflow of the love that we naturally have for our kids. This one should be easy to obey. I mean, we should love our kids so much, and they should be at the forefront of our minds, and their well-being should be such a concern to us that when we begin to pray, man, it'll be fervent just automatically. But we need to understand, when we're praying for our kids, He wants it to be a fervent prayer. Third word I want to bring to your attention is the word expectant. And while it's not found in that verse, the principle definitely is, because at the end of verse 16, it says that God wants our prayers to availeth much. And because we know that that is God's will concerning our prayers as parents for our kids, that means that every prayer that we offer up for our children should be a faith-filled prayer. A prayer that expects an answer. A prayer that is literally assured that it's going to accomplish something. A prayer that's soaked in confidence. Intercession that is offered in the manner that Paul said when he said, listen, offer them up in full assurance of faith. Why? Because He's faithful who promised. I mean, you want to know what that tells me as a parent? That when I seek the face of God for my kids, every prayer that I offer should be based off of what I know God's heart is for my children. He desires their best. He created them to do amazing things through their relationship with God. He wants them to be as close to the Lord as they could ever possibly be. And because I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, I don't have to doubt when I go to Him in prayer. I mean, that's why I don't have to entertain double-minded thoughts. I don't have to waver in my faith when I'm praying for my children, but I can go to Him with full assurance of faith, expectant that everything that I'm praying about that is found in God's will for my kids is something that's going to come to pass. Why? Because that's what He wants. Fourth word I want you to notice is the word consistent. And this is demonstrated in the story that we find in verse 17, where we're told about the account of the prophet Elijah praying that God would once again send rain to the nation of Israel. And if you recall that story, we're told that he went down and he sat and he put his head in between his knees and he prayed how many times? 7 times that God would send the rain. Now, you want to know what that tells me? I mean, that tells me that Elijah was a man that prayed through. He was a man that prayed until the answer came. He sought the face of God until the will of God was accomplished in what he was beseeching him about. And as parents, we have to do the same thing for our kids. I mean, we've got to understand, our prayers can't be hit and miss when we intercede for our children. I mean, we can't pray for them, you know, 1 month, the next month, forget. You know, and pray a couple times the next week and then I mean, that's not the kind of intercession God wants to see offered up. But as parents, we need to hit our knees and stay there or our children are going to miss out on a lot of the spiritual power that they're going to be able to have because their parents are praying for them. As parents, we have to offer up continual and constant prayer for our children that will be effectual, fervent, and expectant or avail as much as a result. So that's the principle that we have to understand before we get into these things we need to be praying. Okay. That is the kind of prayer that the Word of God tells us will make a difference, that will produce a result. So because of that, that is the kind of intercession that we have to offer up for our kids. Now, a perfect example of the type of intercession that we're to offer up as parents for our children is found in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 5. Okay, and it says, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Okay. Now, in this prayer, we see that the general cry that a parent should be bombarding heaven with as they're interceding for their kids is the simple fact that their children would live acceptable lives before God, that they would be found in right standing with Him. That's the overall desire that we should be praying about as parents. I mean, that's easy to figure out. I mean, our purpose in prayer when we pray for our kids should be that our kids would live a pure and a holy life. Amen? That they would be acceptable and well-pleasing to God. That they would really live a life that is void of sin and sanctified by God. That's what we should be praying. That's the general desire. But we also have to understand that our prayer list for our kids doesn't stop there, does it? I mean, that's the general thing we want to see take place, but that's not where it ends. And what I want to do tonight is I want to talk to you about some of the different things that a parent needs to be responsible and praying for their kids about. Okay? Now, the first thing that we need to be praying for our children is we need to be praying that all the things that we are to instruct our kids about would actually be things that they participate in their life. When I tell my sage what the Word of God has to say, I don't want her to just have a head knowledge of it. I want her to experience it. And you know, we talked about some of the different things. We pointed out four major things that we need to be instructing our kids about. I mean, for instance, we're to be instructing our kids that they need to know what the Word of God has to say and then go on to obey it. Amen? But it's one thing to tell your kids that. It's a whole other thing to tell them that and then pray that it's accomplished inside of their lives. When you understand the difference? I mean, it's one thing for me to say, listen, Sage, it's the will of God that you would be completely sold out to Him and Him alone. And then for me as her dad to get down on my knees and do battle with the devil and cry out to God and say, Lord, I realize there's going to be all kinds of pressures that's going to try to keep her from surrendering. I mean, her flesh is going to rise up. This world is going to put undue pressure on her life. But God, I pray that You'd keep her, Lord, that You would lead her, that You'd guide her so she really would be surrendered in the way that You've called her to be. There's a difference. I mean, we're to teach them that they're to be filled with overflowing to the whole, with the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's one thing to just tell Emery, hey, sweetheart, God wants you to be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. But it's a whole other story when, as her dad, I'll get in my closet of prayer and say, God, I realize that if You don't fill my daughter with the desire to serve You and with the ability to serve You, she's never going to make it. And God, if You don't come and fill her with Your Spirit, with Your power, and enable her to do all those things that she cannot do within herself, then the consequences are kind of obvious, aren't they? It's my duty. We're not to just teach them, hey, listen, you know, bad times might be coming and we might have to be persecuted. Amen. But what kind of difference do you think it's going to make if I get down on my knees as their dad and say, listen, Lord, I don't care what kind of things that they ever have to face in their life. I don't want my kids to go through hardship. But what would happen if I would say, Lord, no matter what comes their way, I pray that You would give them the strength, the ability to stand, the determination that they would cling to their faith, that no matter what kind of persecution they would ever have to endure, they would never recant on their faith. Do you think that'd make a difference if they would ever have to face that kind of persecution? Listen, the first thing we need to be praying about is all those things that the Word of God instructs us to be teaching them. We need to be praying that they would actually be accomplished. Second thing that we need to be praying for our children is that they would have a vibrant and a powerful prayer life. Amen? We need to pray the same type of prayers that we pray, you know, and we're supposed to offer for our kids will be the same type of prayers that they will learn to offer for themselves. Okay? What kind of prayers are we supposed to offer? Well, effectual ones, fervent ones, faith-filled, powerful, sincere, intense, and we need to say, God, you know, I realize as I'm putting all those principles into practice, as I pray for my child, Lord, I'm asking that You would help them to pray the exact same way. I mean, as parents, we need to pray that our kids would know how to get alone with God when they get on their knees, and they would learn to get a hold of God when they get with Him on their knees. I mean, we need to pray that they would learn how to effectively pray things through. And not be of this new modern church bunch that prays about something for 1 or 2 weeks, then gets discouraged and gives up, and they just say, well, I guess it's the will of God that just isn't accomplished. Tell that to praying John Hyde. Sit there on his knees until God come and did exactly what he was asking to do. Now, he'd make sure that it was the will of God first, but he refused to give up until God came down and answered his prayer. Why? Because he learned how to pray things through. We've got to pray and say, God, help my kids not to give up when it comes to prayer, but they would learn to pray things through. In essence, we need to pray that our kids would really know how to pray. Not play around down at the altars. Not get down there and not know how to get into the presence of God. Not be some sissy spiritual quitter that when God doesn't come down and move in the first 5 to 10 days, I mean, they give up and they just say, well, I prayed about it and the Lord, I guess I'm just like Paul, you know, I guess I'll just have to deal with this thorn in my flesh, you know. We need to pray that our kids would know how to pray. We need to pray that their prayer life would be invaluable to them. That they couldn't even imagine what it would be like not to spend that sweet hour of prayer with the Lord. That they wouldn't be interested in being, you know, out of communication with Christ. They wouldn't even have any kind of desire to live that kind of spiritual life. And if we'll pray that, God will accomplish it. He'll come down and He'll give your child the desire to meet with Him in prayer. Amen. Through your prayers as a parent, when they do, amen, He will help them press through and get into His presence to where they get a taste for it, to where they like it. I mean, do you believe that? God's a good God. Amen. Does God want your kids to learn how to pray? Does He want them to like praying and seeking His face? Then don't you think He's going to do everything that's in His power to make it a pleasant experience when they do it? And as parents, we need to say, God, make it as pleasant as it could possibly be so when they learn to get down there, they never want to be anywhere else. Third thing that we need to pray is we need to pray that we as parents would have an extremely close relationship with our kids. I really want you to listen to what I have to say here. We need to pray that we would have an extremely close relationship with our kids, because it is not going to happen automatically just because you live in the same house. What is a child's natural tendency towards their parents when they hit their teen years? If you think that your kids are always going to remain just people that just love their parents and just give themselves like they did when they were 3 or 4, when they start getting older and their flesh starts to rise up within them, you are very, very foolish. As parents, we have to be praying, God, let my relationship with my child be vibrant, intimate, and intact. We need to pray that our relationship with them would be very, very open and it'd be very, very honest. That they would know beyond any shadow of a doubt that they can come to their mom and dad about anything, and they would even desire to. They'd feel more comfortable coming to us instead of some guidance counselor at a high school. What a shame it would be that a child couldn't take enough confidence in their parents that they wouldn't even feel comfortable coming to them and they had to go to a counselor instead. Now, there's nothing wrong with counseling. I counsel people. But do you understand what I'm saying? And the reason you don't see that happening a lot of times is because their parents don't pray about it. We need to also be praying that our children would accept and embrace our leadership over them as parents and willingly submit themselves to it. We'd have such a good relationship with them. Amen. That they would trust us. Amen. I believe that as parents, we need to pray for opportunities to prove to our kids that they can trust us. We need to understand, and I don't mean to run this in the ground, having close relations with your children is not going to happen on accident. It's going to have to be pursued, and it's going to have to be prayed about. Fervently, effectually, intensely, or it's not going to happen. Listen, I don't want my girls to have to go to somebody else about a problem that they're having. I want them to be able to come to me. I want them to feel totally comfortable and confident in coming to their dad. And this is why. Because I want my daughters to be convinced that nobody is going to care more about their well-being and the situation they're facing than what their dad's going to be. And even though there might be some consequences, that regardless of whatever the situation entails, incorporates, you know, when you look at the whole thing as a whole, they would want to come to their mom and dad more than anything. We can pray that that'll happen. Fourth thing that we need to pray about is we need to pray that our children would be open and very sensitive to the things of God. It's one thing for your child to know who God is, what He expects of their life, and the fact that, you know, He's going to require them to do things. And it's a whole other story when they're actually open to have God speak to them and to be very sensitive to Him when they do, when He does. We need to pray that they wouldn't even be able to comprehend how somebody could give themselves over to having a seared conscience, or especially be turned over to a reprobate mind. That they would have such a close relationship with the Lord that they would desire to be so open, I mean to just be so sensitive to the things of God that they would never want anything to hinder that. We need to pray that they would be immediately responsive to God and that all He would ever have to do is just gently speak to their heart and they would wholeheartedly do whatever He asks them to do. That doesn't come naturally. If you would think, you adults, you parents here, if probably the greatest thing that we fail at as servants of God is when He speaks to us, a lot of times we don't have the boldness to go out and do what He's asking us to do. You want to know why? Because that's our natural tendency. It's just the way that it is. Do you think it's going to be different with your children? I pray for my kids. Hey, when Sage is in Walmart, if you speak to her heart to hand out a tract, God, help her to be open and sensitive to hear Your voice and to wholeheartedly not question You, not hesitate, not be reserved in what You're asking her to do, but just say, okay, God, I'll gladly do what You want me to do. Now, why would a kid have that kind of attitude? Why would they be that open? Well, it's because they would realize God's never going to ask them to do anything that would benefit them or somebody else. I'm not going to try to lead them in a ditch. Anytime God ever tells you to do anything, it's for your own good. Our parents need to have our children need to have their parents praying about those situations. I don't want my children to have God beat them over the head to get them to obey. And if I'm seeking the face of God, I can make sure that that doesn't have to happen. Fifth thing that we need to be praying for our kids. So we need to pray that God would put a hedge of protection around their lives. Okay. We need to pray about this in several different ways. We need to pray that He would put a hedge of protection around their mind to where they would be able to recognize temptation and then resist and refuse it when it comes. You know, the Bible says that that Satan can present himself as an angel of light. I mean, I want my Emery that when the devil comes even anywhere close to her, she can recognize and smell him a mile off. That's not going to happen unless I'm praying for her. Unless I'm seeking the face of God for her. We need to pray that God wouldn't only put a hedge of protection around their mind, but also around their body. Protect them physically. I mean, Cree just went with Ron and Patrick and those guys down to Ozark Bible Institute. That's about an 11-hour drive, and the whole time they're going, I'm praying, God, please protect her because her dad's not there with her. God, be there with her. Protect her the whole time that she's down there. I mean, so we need to pray concerning their safety, and when we're talking about, you know, protecting their body, I'm going to throw out a word here, and I don't think anybody's too young. I'm a holiness preacher, so we need to pray about their sexuality. If you don't ever think that people in this church have heard that word, grow up, okay? I mean, we're living in 2011. It's something that needs to be talked about more. Parents need to pray about those things. Amen. If you don't think the devil has a bullseye on that area of their life, you are an absolute fool. All you have to do, fellas, is just think back. When you were about 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, what was the only thing that you thought about? Well, what do you think all these reprobate kids all around us are thinking about? I'll tell you what, they're thinking about it about my daughters. And they would be enticed to participate in things like that because they have a flesh. And that's why their dad prays for them that they would never give in to it. Let's be realistic. We got a Christian home. It doesn't mean that we're not, you know, ever going to have to, you know, fall to different pressures in the world and to think our kids are exempt from those kind of things. The devil is more powerful than we could possibly imagine. And whenever a Christian says, well, we've got a hold of that, I don't ever have to worry about that, it is a matter of time until they fall to that very thing. My kids and their father are not above any sin. And that's why we've got to make sure that we're praying, God, help them to not ever give in to it. Sixth thing that we need to be praying for our kids is we need to pray that their spiritual lives would be consistent and uphill. That there's only one direction that they would be interested in going in their spiritual life. And the reason I say that is because there's so many Christians today that have become content with a roller coaster style of Christianity. Where, man, they're up on the mountain one minute, and the next day you talk to them, they're down in the dumps, wading in the valley. And then they have a good service at church, and they're back up. And I mean, they're up and down so much it makes me dizzy. I can't imagine what it makes them. I don't want my kids to even be interested in something like that. I want them to pray for people who fall to things like that, let alone experience it for themselves. I don't want my kids to experience what I call a recycled revival type of spiritual existence, where God will come down and deal with them about something that they're not, you know, up to par in their spiritual lives, and maybe for a week or two they'll try to correct it and they'll try to do real good, but pretty soon they lose everything God was trying to accomplish and they go right back to the way things were. So the next time God comes to move in their life, He has to deal with them about the exact same thing. And then the exact same thing happens. They try it out. They neglect to cultivate. They fall right back down. Listen, I don't want my kids to participate in a spiritual lifestyle like that. I need to pray that they wouldn't even be interested in something like that. I need to pray that my kids would not be interested in coasting in their spiritual lives. Because we know that the only way to be coasting is to be going downhill. And anytime you stop pedaling, so to speak, in your spiritual life, I mean, that is giving the devil an absolute opportunity to come to catch up with you and to ruin your life all over again. I don't want my kids to be interested in something. And here's why it's so important to bring that up, is because what does your flesh want to do? It wants to be saved, but not have to participate, or to only participate so far. And because I realize the limitations that my children have as their parent, I'm going to cry out to God and say, lift them up of their insufficiencies, God, and do that in them which they do not have the power to do themselves. We need to intercede that their spiritual life would be a constant uphill climb where they are constantly gaining new ground in God and they are constantly maintaining the ground that God already gives them to establish. So they're not recycled revivals. Brother Riley, God will come and move in Sage's life. She'll get a hold of whatever He's trying to tell her to do. Then she'll build off that. He'll come and deal with her about something else. She'll get a hold of that. She'll build off that. And pretty soon, she's got all these different things that God has tried to do for her. And she's maintained them. And because of it, she's much farther as a result. That's what we need to be praying for our kids. And then the last thing that we need to be praying for our kids, and there's going to be some people that might have a problem with this at first. We need to be praying that our kids would begin to take on the very character of God. I want you to understand what I'm saying, because what I'm saying isn't blasphemous at all. But we need to pray this to the point that our kids would truly love the things that God loves, and they would hate the things that God hates. We need to understand that when the Word of God says that we can become a partaker of the divine nature, that can really be accomplished, and it can be accomplished in our children's lives. They can get to the place where they feel the same way about things that God does. Amen. That's the way that it ought to be. That's why the church isn't what it should be, is because people don't really believe that anymore. That they can be so much like the Lord. I mean, that they would do everything that they possibly can to have the exact same attributes that God has. And listen, I realize they can't be omnipotent. As much as Emery thinks, sometimes she's not all powerful. She can't be everywhere all the time. She doesn't know everything, but sometimes, Sage, she thinks she does, doesn't she? I'm just teasing you, sweetheart. I realize that they can't take on the attributes of God in full, but I'll tell you what she can be. She can be compassionate, and she is, because she realizes her neighbors are lost and going to hell, and she invites them to church. I mean, she can be full of love. I mean, she can be full of purity. I mean, she really can be righteous and honest, have integrity in her life, and try to live acceptable before God. She can take on those attributes. And as a parent, I need to pray, God, every single attribute that you have that is obtainable to her, help it to be accomplished. Come down and accomplish it inside of her life. You know, when I was thinking about this particular point, I remembered a song that me and Cree used to really like. And it's by this acoustic guitar player named Warren Barfield. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before, but he's a good guitar player and a good singer too. But the name of the song is Mistaken for Jesus. Okay? And remember, we as parents are praying that our children would take on the attributes of Christ, as many of those as they possibly could. Here's what the song says. I shouldn't have to tell you who I am, because if who I am should be speaking for itself. Because if I am who I want to be, then who you see won't even be me. Because the more and more I disappear, the more and more he becomes clear. Until everyone I talk to hears his voice, and everything I touch feels the warmth of his hand. Until everyone I meet sees Jesus in me. This is what I want to be. I want to be mistaken for Jesus. Almost sounds blasphemous, doesn't it? To where somebody would mistake you for Christ? Do they only see who we are when who we are should be pointing them to Christ? Because we are who He chose to use to spread the news of the way and the truth of the life. I want all I am to die so all He is can come alive. To the point where everyone I talk to hears His voice, and everything I touch feels the warmth of His hand. Until everyone I meet sees Jesus in me, this is what I really want to be. I want to be mistaken for Jesus. May He touch with my hands. May He see through my eyes. May He speak through my lips. I want Him to live through my life. Think about what that song is saying. What a wonderful prayer it should be for a parent to get down and say, God, I want my child to take on so many different characteristics of Jesus Christ that they would literally be mistaken for Him. Now, I understand nobody's going to walk by Walter Streeter and say, wait a second, is that the Lord? But I'll tell you what they could say. Is I don't know what it was like to live 2,000 years ago and actually get to meet Jesus Christ. But when you talk to Walter Streeter, he's so full of compassion and love and the Spirit of God that I imagine it was something like meeting Him. If you were wondering if there was something good that a preacher ever said, it was that right there. That our kids would become so much like the Lord that people would say, oh, that must have been what it was like to meet the Lord Himself. How wonderful that would be. Friend, we need to understand that that kind of spirituality is not going to take place unless it's prayed into existence. Amen. Sister DeMann, if you could come to the music, please. I'm trying to do my best to get you to understand that our children are dependent upon our prayers. And while I realize that a child that has unsaved parents that have never even thought about praying for them can still make it into the kingdom of God and be successful spiritually, amen. We also have to understand that when a child has a parent that is interceding for their behalf, I mean, they're going to have so much more of an opportunity, so to speak. Amen. So much more power backing them simply because prayers work. The intercessory prayers that a parent is supposed to offer for their kids is very, very serious business. It could hold the key to your child's spiritual success or failure. Okay. Now, when we're talking about a parent praying for their kids, it's not some little deal, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. But we've learned it's something that should be done effectually, fervently, consistently, and expectantly. And if a parent will accept their God-given responsibility to pray for their kids, We know by reading the Word of God that all the power of heaven is going to be unleashed as a result. We can stand on that. And the principle's been again, the effectual fervent prayer of a parent towards their kid will avail much. So why in the world would we refrain from doing it? I mean, we don't even need to talk about what happens if you don't. I mean, who cares about that? If we know us following this principle, regardless of what kind of thing you want to pray for your kids, if we know that that principle works, it's a promise in the Word of God, then why in the world wouldn't we institute every time we have a chance? I can't think of a reason. I hope you can't think of one either. And regardless if you've been praying for your kid or whether you haven't been, I hope after you've heard this, you've decided that you're going to start doing it. Now, what I've done is I've made some prayer list, you know, that I just went over tonight because a lot of times it's hard to remember, you know, seven different things we're supposed to be praying about. But friend, that prayer list could be 480 things long. Here's what I want you to understand. You as a parent are to be interceding for your child. It's your duty, it's your responsibility if you want them to be surrendered to Christ like the Lord wants them to be. There's no way around it. It's just the way that it is. We also understand there's a principle, a promise given in the Word of God that if we will pray according to it, effectually, fervently, consistently, and expectantly, our prayers are going to work. Regardless of what you're praying about, if you want to start praying that your child will have a godly spouse when they get that age, then you better start praying about it. Amen? And it'll work if you follow that principle. Whatever it is you want to add to that list, feel free. Just follow that principle and make sure that you're doing it. And you'll be amazed at what God will start doing. Let's go ahead and stand.